Blog Talk Radio.
Today, Isaac Walton, his name is associated with some schools, 15th century Englishman, great Italian American violinist, symphony violinist, Zeno Francescanti. She died recently, great voice, a lot of tragedy in her life. Whitney Houston was born in 1963. This is a death that I had a connection not to, but I met Manson on the street. On this date in 1969, Cheryl Tate was one of those who were murdered brutally by the Manson family. Manson is still in prison and hope he stays there and dies there. Among the events today, 1790, a U.S. Navy ship, the Columbia, was the first ship carrying the American flag to do a circumnavigation of the world. It traveled around the world flying the American flag a few years after we successfully won the American Revolution. In 1803, horses were introduced in Hawaii. They didn't have horses there before. This is a border settlement. In 1842, the United States and Canada in the Webster-Ashburton Treaty settled the border between Canada and the United States, and there was a battle cry at the time, 54-40 fight, and it was about the Oregon Territory and what is now British Columbia, and so the boundaries were settled in 1842. That's an unusual party. It's called the Barn Burners. They joined with the Free Soil Party, and they nominated Martin Van Buren as their presidential candidate. He had already been Andrew Jackson's vice president and later was president for one term, and I guess he decided he wanted to run for another term as president, but under the flag of a different party. In 1849, 1 year after the turmoil in Europe, the revolutions of 1848, the Hungarian Republic was crushed by combined military forces of Austria, Prussia, and Russia. In 1956, I vaguely remember, I was just a child, we had another Hungarian Revolution, and some of the Hungarians, young Hungarians who escaped from the Russian tanks, which were brutally put down, Kadar and the other Hungarian, which you could call freedom fighters, came to the United States and worked on our farm at our boarding school. I don't know what they're doing today, if they're still alive. In 1902, my favorite English king, Edward VII, was crowned. I succeeded his mother, Victoria, who was the longest reigning female queen in British history. In 1936, Jesse Owens won his fourth gold medal at the Olympics, and we're going to play that clip right now. I also had to find Nixon. Let's see, where's Jesse? Jesse, here he is. This is after he won the Olympics and he came back to the United States.
Jesse, what was your biggest thrill in Germany?
Well, Bill, the biggest thrill in Germany was when I won the 100-yard dash and the American flag went up and they were playing the Star Spangled Banner.
That was very copacetic. Now, how did you like the German meals?
Well, the German meals were all right, but it took too long to get them.
Jesse, what is your immediate plan?
My immediate plan for the present time is that I'm going back home. I'm going back to the university to finish my year in college. I have another year, as you all know, and I want to get my degree in the end of June.
Will you turn professional?
Turn professional, I do not know. As I said before, I have another year in school, and I haven't any plans about turning professional whatsoever.
How are you going to pick him up?
We're not taking him.
Jesse, what was your biggest thrill in Germany?
Well, my biggest thrill was when I won the 100-meter dash, and the American flag went up, and they were playing the Star Spangled Banner, and we stood up there and salute, and it was really a marvelous day.
That was very copacetic. Now, how did you like the German meals?
Well, the German meals were fine, but it took a little bit too long to get them.
Now, one of the issues has been the dipping of the American dipping the flags. But America has American athletes and American citizens at these games have never permitted or agreed to dip the American flag. And this is something from the 1936 Olympics, which was the last Olympics played before World War II.
Well, no. The French team gave the Olympic salute. The thousands of Germans in the stand mistook it for the Nazi salute, and they roared their approval. The Italian team passed in review. They paid their homage to Chancellor Hitler. But one. The United States flag has never been dipped. The men and women of Canada. This was the supreme moment for Chancellor Hitler. The German team passed in review. 600 men and women. Members of the military. The Chancellor will now formally open the games. I proclaim open the Olympic Games of Berlin, celebrating the 11th Olympiad of the modern Olympic era. The birds, symbol of peace, would spread their message to the world. An invisible signal directs them over the marathon gate and the altar that will hold the Olympic flame. Now the great moment has come. The Olympic flame arrives at the stadium.
Now, on this day in 1974, President Nixon resigned after the Watergate scandals would not go away. In fact, he got drowned in that scandal, his administration, and here he resigns from the presidency. Ironically, today, Obama, at a presidential news conference, some of his critics were asking the question, was he going to announce his resignation? Faint hopes there were, but here Nixon announces his resignation from the presidency, the first and only time so far this has happened.
Good evening. This is the 37th time I have spoken to you from this office, where so many decisions have been made that shaped the history of this nation. Each time I have done so to discuss with you some matter that I believe affected the national interest. In all the decisions I have made in my public life, I have always tried to do what was best for the nation. Throughout the long and difficult period of Watergate, I have felt it was my duty to persevere, to make every possible effort to complete the term of office to which you elected me. In the past few days, however, it has become evident to me that I no longer have a strong enough political base in the Congress to justify continuing that effort. As long as there was such a base, I felt strongly that it was necessary to see the constitutional process through to its conclusion, that to do otherwise would be unfaithful to the spirit of that deliberately difficult process and a dangerously destabilizing precedent for the future. But with the disappearance of that base, I now believe that the constitutional purpose has been served, and there is no longer a need for the process to be prolonged. I would have preferred to carry through to the finish, whatever the personal agony it would have involved. And my family unanimously urged me to do so. But the interests of the nation must always come before any personal considerations. From the discussions I have had with congressional and other leaders, I have concluded that because of the Watergate matter, I might not have the support of the Congress that I would consider necessary to back the very difficult decisions and carry out the duties of this office in the way the interests of the nation will require. I have never been a quitter. To leave office before my term is completed is abhorrent to every instinct in my body. But as president, I must put the interests of America first. America needs a full-time president and a full-time Congress, particularly at this time with problems we face at home and abroad. To continue to fight through the months ahead for my personal vindication would almost totally absorb the time and attention of both the President and the Congress, in a period when our entire focus should be on the great issues of peace abroad and prosperity without inflation at home. Therefore, I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow. Vice President Ford will be sworn in as president at that hour in this office.
Now, it's ironic that none of the media, at least I haven't seen it so far, of course, the day is not over, and of course, the nightmare of this administration is not over. Nobody's brought this historical point up in news. We'll see what happens at 6 o'clock news tonight, and we'll see what happens on PBS and all the other news stations. But we should always remember that no politician, no ruler, no leader is indispensable. The world is not going to stop on its axis if somebody drops dead, is forced out, and hopefully we don't have any other violent removals of our public leaders. We don't need that. And hopefully those who are crooked and dishonest and incompetent will resign of their own accord rather than be forced to the wall and down on their knees and prostrate. Going along further, this is incredible. In 1956, the first statewide, state-supported educational TV system was set up in, of all places, Alabama. Boy, that's a shock. In 1961, I remember this black judge a few years later when I worked in the Seventh Circuit. James B. Parson was the first judge appointed by John Kennedy. He was the first black judge in the Seventh Circuit, which serves the Midwest and headquartered in Chicago, covers many of the Midwestern states. A real fine gentleman, James Parsons. He was a black who accomplished quite a bit. He was a basketball player in college. He was a class act, very honest, competent judge, and unfortunately, he was a credit to his ethnicity, his heritage. We don't have these type of people, or we have less of them today in a lot of the ethnic groups. It's not only the blacks. Also, on this day, as I brought up earlier, Manson family murdered Sharon Tate and those other people down there. Now, I had met Manson. I didn't know who he was at the time. I was walking down Haight Street, and he backed me off the street. But he used to hang out in Haight-Ashbury, and we'll be putting up the site where he hung out at, supposedly. And I had met him, and I looked into his eyes, and it was like looking into a black, empty pit. I'll never forget that. So right now he's in California Department of Corrections, and may he stay there and may he die there. This man is evil. And I also felt that I was in the presence of incarnate evil. And of course, on this day in 1974, Nixon resigned. And of course, the presidency went on. And of course, what Otto von Bismarck, the Prussian prime minister, once said, "God watches over drunks, the insane, and the United States." Lord knows we need it more than ever right now. So Nixon was the political animal who did resign, and he was also the only ex-president to dispense with the Secret Service protection that he was entitled to, and as every president is entitled to, but he said, "Hey, I'm not there. I don't need it." So at least he left this world foisting another burden and expense on the taxpayers. All the other presidents have this, as far as I know, have the Secret Service protection, even though they can well afford to do without it. The Clintons have gotten quite wealthy, in the presidency and when they left. And of course, Hillary thinks that she should be the first woman to occupy the White House. God prevent that. Now, Americans have never understood espionage, and those who have studied some history think that the whole thing is Nathan Hale, I've only one life to give for my country. But when we look at the spies, and I've done quite a bit of research on this, that it's interesting parallels among a lot of them, even between the British, if you compare the British and the American spies. There's a common religion with some of them, Catholic. There's the honeypot like with Aldridge Ames, and of course with the Sergeant Lone Tree, Native American Indian who was a Marine, part of the embassy a guard corps in Moscow. He got compromised and served nearly 30 years. And then, of course, we have Christopher Boyce and Anthony Dalton Lee, Catholics, and there was a movie made, The Falcon and the Snowman, and these were Catholic boys. We had Richard Miller, FBI, Catholic. On the other side of the pond, Captain Vassell, U.S., the Royal Navy, converted to Catholicism. It's very interesting. So we'll be getting into more of that. I don't know what Bradley Manning's religion, if he had one. I don't consider him, and those of us who are familiar with the world of espionage and a lot of these things, and we've studied the history of this subject, and the importance of national security and how everybody, every country relies on it, and it can be a very dirty business, but it's very necessary for any country to survive. And of course, the best spies are supposed to be the Mossad, but they've had their share of scandals too. But anyway, when we look at Bradley Manning, and unfortunately, what's his name, Ellsberg, I think is intoxicated with his own historical self-importance back at the time of Nixon and the Watergate and the Watergate papers. Of course, that's tied into this, and he's been running around in the gay parade defending Bradford Manning. Bradley Manning, and nobody's really asked the questions. Bradley Manning's mother is English or British, and what's her background? She lives over there, and considering that we've had several red spies, communists, the Burgess, McLean, Philby, quite a few people, and we'll get into that. It's an interesting subject. All these people had some sort, except for the women, a military connection, and even the women were connected to, like, the Spanish Civil War. So it's a subject that people don't revive it, those are in the media, and it's a subject that we need to know everything about because our survival depends on it. So we'll get into that, and of course, the notorious Walker's, John Walker family scandal. You know, they've cost, we don't know how many lives were lost of our people who are operating in our interest abroad. And, of course, the Aldridge Ames, all of our agents that he knew about were revealed to the Soviets. And, of course, Bradley Manning, what's interesting about Manning is a lot of people don't know that a federal military personnel have the right to be a whistleblower, and they are protected. Now, Manning had seen something when he was a communications expert that was contrary to our constitutional democracy. He should have brought it to the attention of the Senate and House Armed Services Committee instead of throwing it to like a hungry bone, an attempting bone to WikiLeaks and Assange. I mean, this is his obligation. He took an oath to uphold the Constitution and to defend the United States, and yet he betrayed the country, in our view. And so he deserves nothing. Maybe we ought to bring back capital punishment to all these guys because they put the whole country at risk. Now, another thing of interest I think people should be interested in is the growing number of pedestrians who are being injured and even killed by reckless bicycling and bicyclists. And, of course, they don't obey the rules of the road, and they have this latte leisure mentality. They're special. Get out of my way. I don't care who you are. And, of course, I think this Boucheret guy, Chris Boucheret, who killed this 71-year-old Asian man who was crossing the street on the light. And also, pedestrians do have obligations, too. A lot of people don't know that. But anyway, we haven't heard a word of, hey, I'm sorry I did this. I made a big mistake. But I think he's given his name to reckless bicycling. We call it Boucheret. And also, Hunter College in New York has done a study of the entire state. So emergency wards, people who have gone to the emergency ward as a result of a collision are being run down by bicycle, and there are about 1,000 of these cases, according to Hunter College's survey. And there may be more. You know, these things are not reported. I was a victim of a bicyclist, as long as also my old lady. So there we have that. It's become easy pickings to profit from tragedy. Those of you who remember maybe 20, 30 years ago, the DeSillers case, where this young boy had to get a liver transplant, and his mother did this public petition, and a lot of money poured in, even from President Reagan. So she spent the money. Marie DeSillers spent the money on a BMW, furs, diamonds, and all that, and owed the hospital $250,000. Here we have also, and she was from Florida, Casey Anthony from Florida. She's already talking about, or I don't know if it's going to come to fruition, writing a book about her experiences. You know, her daughter's dead. And now we have the Trayvon Martin, where his birth mother, she gave him up, and she's, I understand, copywriting the name, so she claims nobody else can make money off it, but apparently a lot of money has been collected, and of course under certainly questionable circumstances. And then we have up here in Wyoming, Matthew Shepard's mother. Now, she started a foundation, and we don't know what the hell she does. But she's collecting, I think it's $100,000, $150,000 salary. And, you know, again, looks like profiting from tragedy. People ought to be aware of these things. So we're going to be back Monday, and we will continue our series on spying. And we will end with our usual, of course, politics and poker. And, let's see where we're at. So we're be back. So have a pleasant weekend. Hopefully there'll be no accidents. We'll have good weather. We're supposed to be in the summertime, and of course we should be aware that the Fukushima problem has caused a lot of problems over in Japan, and it's spreading. The water and may have contaminated the air. So we will, for some reason, I can't find our ending thing, but let me see, because I'm using this new system. Oh, here we go. And we will be back Monday. Have a pleasant weekend. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas at YouTube, and we will have, but we were hacked, so we're going to have our new AmicusVeritas.net web pages and update it in our archives. So here's our ending theme, Politics and Poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions like
who to pick,
how to play, how to bet,
where's the call of duck?
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrade.
and a lot of territory. So we'll be back Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Have a safe weekend. Good night.